I trust everybody had a good Ben Ezmanim and good time Chazara, ready to go on. So,
Shechianu.
That's a shaila. It's a hamshech on Ezman. Shechianu, v'kimanu, v'gianu, v'zman hazeh. Since I get that from Rav Asher, he also starts. But in the mirror, they switch masachtos. I don't know. Anyhow. Right. So we're going to start Melachas Boer. As you probably gathered, it's a pretty big melacha. We finally have a little bit of like Gemara and straight Torah and Shulchan Aruch, which is a really a nice change, not like
is
two lines.
Is by big things?
So today's shir will be a little bit of a hakdama, and we'll bounce around a little bit. I know I didn't give you Mar Makomos because really I think there's enough to focus on in terms of the straightforward things. Though, again, certainly I will be referring to other things, and you could look them up as they come up. So let's start with transition from the last melacha, which was dash, and consider the question of what distinguishes boer from dash. So if you'd have asked me, I would have said it's very simple, that dash means detaching or extracting. Mashen kein borer, which is sorting or purifying or the like. In other words, when you do dash, what remains is a ta'aroves. Like in threshing. Threshing, you have the animals do the disha or the like, and you're left with a ta'aroves of ochal emsolas, and then at a later stage you do the borer. Now, l'chora, that's not so pashut, because if that were true, for example, then schita should not be chayiv mishum dash, should be borer, right? In schita, you are left with a purified object. I'm left with my olive oil. I don't need to necessarily do subsequent borer, or I'm left with the wine or the like. You would be chayiv even though you're not left with the tarofes, and yet the melacha is dash. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Rabbeinu Hananel over here in our Sugya in Dalav Ralef gives a different distinction. He writes that the Isser Borer is when the Psoles is Me'urav, as opposed to Dash when the Psoles is Dvuka. In other words, he's actually bringing the two Melachos closer together by giving a more specific sort of almost technical difference between the two melachos, it would seem. And if you learn like Rabbeinu Hananel, for example, it's very easy to understand why there should be no boer if I peel my orange. You might have to figure out why it's not dash, but it's obvious it wouldn't be boer because it's davok. Now, I'll just read you the lashon if you want to take a look, right? Hadash in other words, they're both really about removal of psoles. One is about removal of psoles ha-mechuberes, and one is about removal of psoles ha-me'ureves. That's what the Rach says. Now, if you take a look at the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Tez Zayin, he says that the reason why sochet is not chayev mishum borer, is because hakol min echad. Again, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's obvious why schita is not borer, because we're not talking about me'ureves, we're talking about mechuberes. The Magen Avraham, though, seems to not accept Rabbeinu Hananel, and he gives a different reason. Why is it that schita isn't borer? Because hakol min echad. That's an idea that we're going to certainly spend. We'll get there. Ezra Hashem, b'li neder. Danny asked that I make a hoda'a b'rabim that even when I say we'll get there and I don't remember to say b'li nader, it should be assumed that it's b'li nader. Every so often I do fulfill what I say, but so that's what the Magen Avraham says. In other words, L'chori is saying that the difference between borer and dash is that borer, we're talking about a chiluk between two minim, you have two things, ochel and psolas, and you're separating them, as opposed to dosh, where you start off with one min and you separate it, right? Dosh, it's almost like creating something new. In other words, you start off with one min and you extract something from that one min, like when you do shechita, but also in classical disha. Borer, you're starting off with two minim and you're certainly dividing between them. You're not creating something new. You're not extracting something new. You're simply dividing between this mixture of ochel and psoles, but you started off with a mixture. In other words, you started off with two minim as opposed to starting off with one min. Now, that's a very nice distinction. One interesting question you'd have to think about according to this is why is mechabetz a tolda of borer? Mechabetz is when you take milk and like Little Miss Muffet, you separate the curds and the whey. There, I would have thought that according to Magen Avraham's definition, it should be dash perhaps, but not borer. You're starting off with one min, namely milk, and you're ending off with two minim, namely curds and whey. But it's not a tolda of dash, it's a tolda of borer. Why would that be? Maybe you'll be forced to say that we view milk as a taroves of curds and whey, even before you separate them. You don't really see the separation but end. You see in front of you a glass of milk. Maybe that's what you'd have to say for the Magen Avraham. It's something that we'll have to think about. Perhaps you'll be forced to that conclusion, or perhaps we'll come up with something else. So one way or the other, here we have two different approaches to distinguishing between borer and dash. Now, could be that the machlokas isn't as big as we thought at first, because maybe the reason why Rabbeinu Hananel says that when they're mechuber, it's a shaila of dash and not borer, is because when they're mechuber, he sees it as one min. Maybe, but certainly there will be nafkaminas. For example, with respect to peeling, again, according to the Magen Avraham, peeling is a borer shayla, and according to Rabbeinu Hananel, peeling is a dash shayla. So what is the halacha by peeling? So there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi Perek Zayin Halacha Bay says, Hahein sheshachak tuma, so it's talking there about peeling garlic, and there are various steps really in garlic preparation that we discussed over there, but when it says, kadmivara biklipase mishum borer, which sounds like it's saying that when you peel the garlic, so that's a chiv of borer. So that's, first of all, very much non-rach-like base. The Yerushalmi says that peeling is chai mishum borer. It's great for the Magen Avraham, because we could say it's two minim, right? There's the peel of the garlic peel, the garlic fruit or whatever it is, the actual garlic. It's still a chiddush. You might have said that it's not. Doesn't seem like it's a taroves, which is another important thing we'll talk about when we get to as we go on. But at least it's conceivable. Yerushalmi is a reasonable for the Magen Avraham. Now, this isn't necessarily a pircha on the Rabbeinu Hananel. In fact, interestingly enough, the vast majority of Rishonim don't cite this Yerushalmi. And there are those that even say that the Yerushalmi is mechayev mishum dash, not borer, even though it says borer. But the pashtus in the Yerushalmi is, without a doubt, that the chiyav is mishum borer. Rabbeinu Hananel might say, okay, the Bavli is against Yerushalmi. We'll talk about evidence for that shortly. Lemaisa, we are choshesh for this Yerushalmi, though interestingly enough, it's not brought up in Shin Yates, but in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph at the Ramah, at the very end. That's very important. Mar Malkom, not in our Simen for Borer. The end, the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph, take a look at the Beis Yosef, the Ramah, and Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, Bir Halacha, Ayin Sham. So it seems like by quoting the Ramah, quoting that Yerushalmi, and in the context of Borer, it seems like we don't accept Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, going back to some of the other sources that we know about dash, so we saw the Gemara about Shada Pisa Ladikla, and there you would be chayef mishum dash if at least it was dark over kach, right? Whether you learn like Rashi or Tosvos, there we seem to be talking about Dvar Mechubarim. So that's okay for Rabbeinu Hananel. According to Magen Avraham, that Gemara is a little harder to understand. Are we talking about Min Echad there? So Magen Avraham would have to say yes. In other words, one of the tricky parts that we're going to get into, we're going to find with Boer, and this is already in the first couple minutes of Shir, we're running into this problem, and this problem is going to plague us as we continue. Boer is one of the malachos where it's hardest to apply the conceptual rules to a real-world application. You're looking at something, and I say, that's 2 minim, and you'll say, that's 1 minim. Why do I think it's 2 minim? Come on, look at it. It doesn't look like 2 minim. You'll say it for me. Look at it. That's 1 min. What is 2 minim? What is 1 min? What is a big piece? What is a small piece? What is clearly a taroves? What is distinct pieces that aren't a taroves? Borer is, I think, you know, different malachos have different elements that are hard. Even if you get down the rules and the theory behind Borer, oftentimes applying that theory is very, very, you feel like, I don't know, I can't, is that a taroves or not? Is like a pile of spoons and forks. Is it a taroves? Because like it's a big pile of different things, or no, because spoons and forks and knives are so distinct, that's not a taroves. So again, we'll get into the details as we go along, but that's really the very, frustrating part of Boer is going to be applying these rules. And already over here, you have this issue. In other words, I don't know, let's say, if you learn like Rashi, the fruit's connected to the machbedos. 2 minim or 1 min? I would have said that's 2 minim. And even Tosfos, where we're talking about that mysterious outer shell. I don't know, 2 minim or 1 min? So, the Magen Avraham, again, I might have intuitively said 1 min. 2 minim. Magen Avraham obviously is seeing both of those cases as 1 min, because the Gemara says that throwing the clod of dirt and getting the dates to fall down and separate, whatever exactly they're doing, is a shaila of dash. It's not a shaila of borer. We already saw that again just a minute ago when we said, how does the Magen Avraham explain machabetz? And is a machabetz surely isn't chalav surely 1 min? And seemingly the Magen Avraham is going to say, no, actually milk is 2 minim. It's the curds in a way mixed up. So that's going to be a challenge for the Magen Avraham. For the Rabbeinu Hananel, it's relatively easy to figure out when something is a Bor Shaila and when it's a Das Shaila. Now, obviously, knowing which Malach it is, besides, knowing which year to put it into is important, because there might be heterim for Borer, for example, that aren't Shaykh for Dash. Is there a heter of La'alter for Dash? Pashtus not. Maybe. If you think La'alter is a Derech Achila that could be applied all over the place, maybe yes, right? The Vashpa says that La'alter is even a heter for Tochein, because it's also Derech Achila. So, but the Gemara doesn't apply the heter of La'alter for Disha. So knowing whether it's a Shaila of Dash or Bor is going to be very important. So that's the first Hakdama. What's the difference between Bor and Dash? Hakdama number two is a very basic question, which is, does or is Borer a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa? Does it need to be Tzricha L'Gufa? Or, if you want to say it a little differently, why is it that every Borer is not a Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa? Now, we have to go back and remind ourselves what is Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa. According to Tosfos, that Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa versus In Tzricha L'Gufa relates to the way it was done in the Mishkan, so this isn't a Shaila at all. Because, okay, this is Borer Tzricha L'Gufa because it was done in the Mishkan. Shine. But if you learn like Rashi and many of the other Rishonim, probably most other Rishonim, this is a very important question, right? Rashi, remember, Tzadi Gimel on the base, says, what is Ena Tzricha L'Gufa? Kol Melach She'ena Tzricha Ela L'Salka Me'alav Havim Melach She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa Dibritzono Lo Balo V'lo Yitzarech La. So I would much rather this psalas not be here. if I wish it wasn't here, and now that it's here, I'm just getting rid of the bad stuff. Getting rid of the bad stuff. So that sounds like classical Enetz Rit L'Gufa. Now, the truth is that, in fact, maybe the answer is in a Hanami. And that's exactly what the Baal HaMor says. The Baal HaMor, it's on Lamed Zayin and Mebeis, going on to Lamed Chesed Aleph B'Daf Pei Arif, talking about the Gemara Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. And the Baal HaMor says, Kol Shloshim V'Teshim Lachos Shehayu Kenegdan B'Mishkan Kulan Haya Behan Tzorch L'Gufan Chutz Nazora V'Abayir. Interesting. What about Merakid? So, at the very least, Borer is Taka. Under normal, should be defined as Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. But it's an exception to the rule. You're chayv even though it's Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. Good? Because we learned it out from the Mishkan. You know, sort of like perhaps we talked about Zohar last year. Zohar really should be Pater because it's Grama, according to the Rush, but you're chayv because that's the way it was done. So too, Borer really should be Pater, but it's chayv.
Can you explain again why the question? Like, why would I assume that every Borer is Machshinus?
Because the definition of Insur Lagufa is Silokara, and this is exactly what it is. I have some Ochel, there's some bad stuff mixed into it. Chaff, I don't like that. I wish it wasn't here. Now that it's here, I'm getting rid of the bad stuff. It's like Hotzas Hameis. It's like Tzad Nachash Shelo Yishchenu. It's like Mapis Morsa Lahotzi Lecha. It's like Karigas Mazikin. It's like Chofer Guma Beinatar Chalafra. They're all the same. Getting rid of the bad. Getting rid of the bad. I wish it wasn't here. There's a snake in this room. I wish it wasn't here. It's here. So I trap it. Getting rid of the bad. Enet Rechel Gufa. Pater. Right? Classical Enet Rechel Gufa. That's what I would think. Now, what Yoni is getting at is saying, why are you looking at it that way? Why don't you say this is Tikkun Ochel? And if it's Tikkun HaMaychal, then it could be Tzricha L'Gufa. In other words, why are you looking at it? Let's give another example. Chofer Guma, not for Enitzarach Elalafra, but for Binyan, right? I'm building my house, and I need to lay a foundation, so I'm digging a hole for the foundation. So is that Tzricha L'Gufa? Of course, right? Why don't we say Tzilkara? I wish this dirt wasn't here. You know, if this dirt wasn't here, then I would be able to lay my foundation right away. Now I have to spend so much money, buy an excavator, or rent an excavator. They go in, you know, it's thousands of dollars to dig a big hole, to just get rid of that dirt that I wish wasn't here. And if, you know, if I was building my house around a crater, you know, a meteor struck here just a little bit ago, there's a big crater, I save so much time and money. I could just start right away. Right, just pour that concrete. So what are you going to say? That's also in a Tzricha L'Gufa? No, of course it's Tzricha L'Gufa. Why is it Tzricha L'Gufa? Because it's binyan, right? The melacha is the binyan, and part of binyan is laying a foundation, which involves removing, creating a hole. So says Yoni. Why don't I say the same thing by Borer? Right, the melacha is Tikkun Ochel, and part of Tikkun Ochel is Taka getting rid of that psoles, but that doesn't make it Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. So I think what you have to say is, well, the question is going to be how you define the melacha. In other words, if you defined the melacha as Tikkun HaMaychal, then yeah, Taka, this could be viewed as Tzricha L'Gufa. Whereas if you define the melacha as the act of separation, so then what is this? It's getting rid of the bad, right? We don't view digging to build your building as removing the bad, and memela, a hole is created whereby I can lay my foundation. We view it as binyan. If you define the melacha differently, then it could have been seen as Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, but it's not. Here, again, we could have theoretically defined the malacha differently, but that's not how he defines the malacha. He's defining the malacha as the act of separating. Maybe the word implies that, Borer. the act of separating. Separating what? The bad from the good. That's Einus V'chol Gufa.
Right.
Now, yeah.
When we say, like the Baal HaMor, that or is Einus V'chol Gufa, is that really just another way of saying that there is no ofen of Einus V'chol Gufa?
Yeah. Okay. For Boer.
Yeah.
I think so. Now, the Ramban there disagrees with the Baal HaMor. It's in the Chidushim, Kovav Amid Aleph. But I also think, as opposed to, I guess the way some people say over the Ramban, that he also understands, like the Baal Maor, that it's the Hafrada that's the Melacha, but still he says it's Tzricha L'Gufa. So I'll read you a little bit for what he's saying. And at first, he doesn't sound that. Again, the easiest way to say why this is Tzricha L'Gufa would be to say that it's Tikkun HaOichal. And that's the way the Bir Halacha understands the issue is Yankif. But I don't think that's the way the Ramban himself is saying it. Again, initially it sounds that way a little bit, but then when he clarifies, I think it's not what he says. So I'll read you a little bit from the Ramban. Adamila vade malacha tzrich legufahi. That's as opposed to Rashi over there, the question of whether mila, which is again an act of hasaras ha'orla, how do you look at that? Is that tzrich legufahi and tzrich legufah? Right? We know that you are Chayv on Mila, Sat B'yom Shmini, the Torah's Matir, that's the context of the bar over there. So says the Baal HaMor, says the Ramban, sorry, the Mila is Shichel Gufa, Shut Sarech She Adam Zemo, Uma Dome Elizeh, Hanotel Sipar Naim Bekli, V'chein Shvamo, Shuchay Misham Tolda Degozeh, Zvafal Pishen Ot Sarech Legufa Tzipar Naim, V'seir Melach Shichel Gufa, Nikreis, V'chein Hazar Bower. And the truth is, if you just stopped here, the way I would say it is very simple. That he's saying tikkun ha'ochel, right? So mila is tzrich legufa because it's tikkun ha'guf, right? The arla is psailas, the gavra is misukin when you get rid of the arla, and that's great. And the same thing he's saying by getting a haircut, right? Again, you could have seen haircuts as ein tzrich legufa. Why? Because when I shave, I have this bad stuff growing on my face. I want to get rid of it, so I shave it off, right? That's, in other words, you could have said that gozes would be tzrich legufa, like in the case of a sheep, where you want the wool, that would be gozes at tzrich legufa. But when you want to cut your nails, right, assuming that you're not doing something positive with those nails, or just going in the garbage, or burying them, or down the toilet, depends if you're chassid, or whatever it is, you definitely don't want them, right? Britono liabalo, it would be amazing if I had, non-growing nails. So I'm getting rid of the bad. So says, but he says, no, you're chayev, right? Why? So again, from here, and he says same thing for Zohar and Borer, right? Zohar and Borer are the same thing. So if you just stopped here, I actually would have also said it's tikkun amaychal, but he clarifies, skipping a little bit. Vim toma v'areyaf al pikein melach shen tzrich legufahi, dom yedachover guma, vein tzach el lafra, lo tita b'zeh. Shachavala bekan, meaning mila, he adam atzmo shutzarichlo. So no, the kvar dimisi zeh legozes v'notel saaro v'tziparnov bein l'sakin gufo v'liyafos atzmo bein l'tzar chaseir v'agiza kulan melacha tzrich legufahi mipnei shakol davar echad v'anetila hi atzma melacha. Mashen came, b'chol ferguma shabinyan b'karkahu, b'hu anikwa melacha, b'chein avar le'efer, tzarech legufo. So it's not entirely clear what he's saying, but the Ramban is basically asking the question, right? He's saying, in the end of the day, why is this different than chol ferguma v'eino tzarech el afra, where we say it's ein tzrich legufo. Right? In other words, when you're chovel v'tzarech ledamo, it's tzricha l'guf, according to Ramban. Chofer guma la'afra is ena tzricha l'gufa. So the Ramban's bothered by, what's the difference? So his answer is what? Let's listen. Lo tita b'zeh, shachavala b'kan hi adam atzmo, shu tzarech lo. In other words, with respect to the dam, so it's tzricha l'gufa, because the melacha is with the dam. And he says, what's that comparable to? Goes is tziparnayim, lasakin gufo. In other words, the malacha is b'shneihem, it's b'tziparnayim and b'guf. And that's why he says that your chayav, let's say for goes is tziparnayim, or your hair of the like, whether you want the hair or whether you want to get rid of the hair. Both ways it's tzricha l'gufa, right? They're both tzricha l'gufa. If I'm cutting my hair to make a sheitel, tzricha l'gufa. And if I'm cutting my hair because my hair is too long and I'm getting rid of the annoying long hair, that's also tzricha l'gufa. And he says, why? How could that be? How could they both be tzricha l'gufa? Because again, he fundamentally accepts Rashi's type of understanding of tzricha l'gufa. So how could they both be tzricha l'gufa? And the answer is because the melachas al shneihem, because hanetila atma hi hamelacha. Mashenkin chofer, where the binyan is bekarka, that's the melacha. So therefore, it's ena tzricha l'gufa. One achron that I think explains this very nicely is the Kilas Yaakov. It's Simon Mem Tes. So this is the way the Kilas Yaakov, I think, says it. V'pnei sha'kol davar echad v'hanetila hi atzma melacha. Oh, that's also another Ramban. I didn't write... I didn't quote the Lashon. Anyway, but that's the way the Kilas Yaakov explains it, I think. Ayin Sham. Right? What? That what I'm saying. In other words, the reason why this tzricha l'gufa is because the melacha is the netila. That's what he says by Gozi. So therefore, it's tzricha l'gufa both whether you need the hair or you want to get rid of the hair. And likewise, and he's comparing that to Borer, likewise for Borer. Right? In other words,
the Ramban
isn't say, he does say it by Borer. He says explicitly, v'chein l'Borer. His lashon is, v'anatila atzmei melacha, v'ashen gim chavruva, Yeah, he compares them. He says he compares which malachos. He compares choyzo for tzarech ledam to no tel tziparnav to no tel svamo to zorer and zorer and boer. In all of them, he says an etilat me a malacha. What? So in other words, I don't think the Ramban is saying tikkun ha'ayichel. He's saying that the malacha is the netila, and therefore, anytime the netila is beneficial, so then that's tzricha l'gufa.
Why is the netila?
Because that's just the definition of malacha. What the Ramban is saying is that depending on how you define the malacha, that will depend on whether you view something as tzricha l'gufa or not.
Do you have the same answer?
No. You'll see a nafkamina in a second, right? A simple nafkamina, just to say, would be ochal me ochal, right? So Yeshua Yaakov actually takes the point, the mahalach of tikkun ochal. Yeshua Yaakov is quoted by the Bir Halacha. It's in Shin Yud Tes, Dimas Lechom Yad. And at least this is the way the Bir Halacha understands the Yeshua Yaakov. Says Yeshua Yaakov. So since I think that the malacha is tikkun ha'ochel, so maybe if you have ochel and ochel, you'll be potter, right? If I have a jelly beans, different color jelly beans, and I sort them ochel from ochel, you're potter, right? You need psolas. Now, Ramban would say, you're chayev, because the malacha is separating, the netila atzmi and malacha, right? You don't need tikkun ha'ochel, even if we accept the Yeshua Yaakov. Bir Halacha says, I don't think you're right, because I think even there could be tikkun ha'ochel, because you want a more pure thing, right? I don't like, we're not talking about a case where, you just don't like the black jelly beans. You have OCD, so you like the green jelly beans and the red jelly beans separated from each other. They're, you like them both, right? So says the Yeshua Yaakov, there's no tikkun, you're potter. The Ramban could say you're chayv. That the Bir Halacha says, I like the Yeshua Yaakov, I just think that too could be considered tikkun ha'ochel. In other words, he accepts the hanach of the Yeshua Yaakov. He says, no, a purer substance is improved. So even though I accept the Yeshua Yaakov's theory that the malach is tikkun ha'ochel, even ochel from ochel could be tikkun ha'ochel. Because, you see, what does Bir Halacha say? Bir Halacha says there's a problem. Because the Rambam says that you're chayv in ochel from ochel. So he says, well, maybe I'll just say that to Rambam Lashitaso, because the Rambam's b'chayfer in the Sicha Lagufa. Ah, the Rambam. But he says, no, even the Rosh says you're chay from ochel. And the Rosh says in Sicha Lagufa is pater. So he says, you have to say that the gedder of the malach is tikkun ochel, but there's also tikkun ochel when you separate ochel from ochel. That's the way the B'Alach says it. Now, you could have given a different answer. You could have said, well, the Rosh says you're chai from ochel because he says it like Tosfos, that ochel from ochel is really psoles. He holds a subjective psoles, right? The one that you don't want, even though it's ochel, it's delicious, it's edible, black jelly beans, there's some people that like them. Yeah, nobody's ever met one. But if they put them in the thing, probably somebody likes them, right? So I don't like black jelly beans. So that's really psoles. So it could have been. You could have said, yeah. The Rambam says, because he says, Ein Shechel Guv Chayev. Tosfos says, or the Rush, let's see, the Allah invokes the Rush. The Rush says, Ochel Mochel Chayev, because one of them is really psoles. And Taka, the Rush quotes Tosfos. He says it like Tosfos. So you could have given a different answer. You could have said, Taka, not that way. There's a more basic problem, really, with the way the Bir Halacha presents it, which is, it's not, you can't say it's Nicha for the Rambam, because if you hold like the Yeshua Siakov, it's not just that Ochel from Ochel's in the Tzricha Lagufa, it's not a Malacha, it's not Borer, because there's no Tikkun. Mecha Tesei, Rav Shimon and Yehuda argue about the Getter of the Malacha also. The Yehuda says the Getter of Malacha is Hasar Sapsailas, and therefore you could be Chayev, and therefore you don't have to come onto this. And Rabbi Shimon, who's, like, you could say that. That's sort of what the B'Alach is assuming. That since Rabbi, the more intuitive definition of the Malach is Asas Apsilas. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says you could be Chayv on Asas Apsilas, says you could be Chayv on Sechel Gufa, would define the Malach as Asas Apsilas. And then Rabbi Shimon, who couldn't agree to that, and also doesn't want to say like the Balmor, so Memelius defined the Malach as Tikkun Ocha. Anyway, so let's. And the truth is, anyway. So let's stop. So basically, what do we have? We have three definitions, three ways to define the malacha. Right. Number one is the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor defines the malacha bar as getting rid of the bad, getting rid of the garbage, and therefore he says it's taka ein tzrichel gufa. Nevertheless, it's an exception, and you're chayv even a libido shimon. The Yeshua Siakov, at least again the way the Bir Halacha understands it, is nope. The getter of the malacha is Tikkun Eichel. And then there's a question, sometimes how do you define Tikkun? So Yeshua Siakov says, Ochel Meochel isn't really Tikkun, and therefore you would be Potter. And the B'Alacha says, no, I could say Ochel from that even Ochel from Ochel is Tikkun Ochel, and therefore you would be Chayiv. And finally, the Ramban, who says that the definition of Malacha is separating, is Afradas Beis Minim, or it's Nituk Bein Ralatov, or something like that. Now, so one potential nafkamina that we said, the first one, would be ochel from ochel. Again, the way the Yeshua Siakov sees that as a nafkamina. Yeshua Siakov says that if you define it like I define it as tikkun ha'ochel, so memela ochel from ochel will be pater. The Bir Halacha denies that particular nafkamina, because he says ochel from ochel could also be considered tikkun ochel. It's a theoretical nafkamina, but not a practical nafkamina. The Baal Amor, presumably. No, that's a question. In other words, if you said there's no psoles, then the Baal Amor could say you're pater in that case. Right? Another nafkamina, which I don't think we'll get into now, because we'll try to focus on the more practical ones, but a possible nafkamina might be about the shear. In other words, is the shear of bar is a grogeres? Is it a grogeres of taroves, a grogeres of ochel, or a grogeres of psoles? Right? In other words, if you hold that, like the Baal Amor, the malachas hotzas of psoles, and maybe you need a grogeres of psoles. If you hold like the Shuas Yaakov, it would be a grogeres of ochel, or taroves. Certainly feel like the Ramban, it would be a grogeres of taroves, right? So that might also be a nafkamina. If you look at the Yeshuas Yaakov, I think he might say it a little differently than the Bir Halacha says it, but in his name. Okay. Let's talk about, though, another more very practical nafkamina, possible nafkamina. We'll see. We'll say a number of potential nafkaminas. I call them potential nafkaminas because at least I think Achronim claim that these are nafkaminas. I'm not sure that they are. But we'll think about the Shilas in this context. It's a Yerushalmi, very fascinating Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says like this, again, Zion base. Basically, a person could be Boyer all day long and still not be Chayev. Or you could be Boyer a little tiny bit and be Chayev. Amar, have you done Yeshu Boyer Tzoros Kol Yom Be'ino M'chayev Yeshu No Toki Rogers and Yad M'chayev Hech Avida Hayoshev Agabi Kri Uvir Tzoros Kol Yom En M'chayev Nato L'toch Yado Ki Rogers Uvir Chayev. Right, so let's imagine I have a big, giant Kri, right? And this kri, one ton of ochel and one ton of psolas. So all day long, all Shabbos, for 25 hours straight, I'm just taking out psolas, taking it out. But, 2 tons, it's not even going to finish by the end of Shabbos. No, now chayiv. That's what Rabbi Yudin says. Fascinating. So first of all, we'll get back to that. So the easiest way to explain this Yerushalmi is to say that the Malacha, like Yeshua's Yankif, right? The gather of the Malacha is Tikkun Ochel, and it's not Mesukkan. It's not Mesukkan, because in the end of the day, a Tarovis remains. There's still Psolas. Okay? Originally it was 60% Psolas, now it's 35% Psolas. But Lemaisa, what remains, is it Mesukkan? No. Now, you still have to deal with it, even if you say that, a different question, which is, when do we sometimes say partial completion is enough to be mischayev, and when don't we say that? Lamashal, I'm building a house, right? So, I work all day. Yeah, I didn't finish the house. I added 3 feet of bricks and mortar to my house. When I started off Shabbos, it was 2 feet high, and now it's 5 feet high. I still have another 3 feet to go. It's not finished. Presumably, you're going to be chayav for bona. Or the way the Ara, the Iglei Tal, it's in Zaira Sifkat Aleph Osei asks, for Oreg, we say if you weave a part of a baguette, you're chayav. We don't say that. We say tzchatzer and nashir. We wouldn't say that. So what's the difference? You were chayif, he says. So the Iglei Tal answers, it depends on how you do it. If it's a type of malacha that you usually finish at once, so then we say, if you do half of it, it's chatzi shir. If it's a malacha that generally takes a long time to do, like building a house, so if you do half of it, we just said you didn't finish the project, you didn't get to Makabe Patish maybe, but you're still chayiv. But, okay, even if we accept that, so we accept that the reason why this is true for Borer is because, generally speaking, you finish the act of Borer, but still, if you learned like the Baal Mor, you certainly would not say like the Yerushalmi. So Maisa, you did Hasar Sapsolas. But if you learn like the Yeshuas Yaakov, the Yerushalmi is very Gishmak. So what would the Baal Mor say? Baal Mor would say that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi defines the Melacha, maybe, I don't know, Tikkun Ochel, and the Bavli says no. The Bavli says that the definition of the Malacha is Hasara Sara, and therefore, even though you did Hasara Sara and you accomplished a great deal, but still, since you weren't misaking it, you're going to be Potter. That's maybe. Now, the question is there any evidence that you can't just say the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi, is there any evidence? So I thought maybe one raya that you could say for that is the Gemara at the bottom of the page that Rav Bibi threw out all the peiros, you know, with the psoles, right? The Gemara is not sure why did he do it. Is it because it's Ein Yafer? He thought he had to do it in terms of Hilchos Borer. But it sounds like from the Gemara that if it was Aser Alts Borer, it would be mutter to basically throw out the food and spread it out such that it's not a tarovis, it's going to be mutter. Now, does that make sense according to the Yerushalmi? You could argue it doesn't. Because according to Yerushalmi, Lamaisa, I'm left with ochel. Started off with the tarovis ochel psolos, and I'm left with ochel that's not me'urav. So what's the pshat in the Bavli? Because maybe the Bavli says that the definition of the malacha is hasaras psolos. So this is nothing. It's not a malacha. And that's why the Baal Mor knew that the Bavli disagreed with Yerushalmi, and therefore, even though, of course, the Yerushalmi is against this theory, he didn't paskin like that. Another possibility that the Igle Tal says, I'll take your question, is that maybe the Yerushalmi, I'm not sure why he knows this, but the Igle Tal suggests that the Yerushalmi that we talked about last time, about Melech HaZorah, remember the Yerushalmi held that spitting into the wind could be a Chiyav Chatas, and that was because Zorah is not really about Breira of Ochel Amsolas, because my spit is not comprised of Ochel Amsolas, it's just a dispersion. So maybe, just like they argue about, the Bavli and Yerushalmi argue about Zorah, they also argue about Boer. So maybe that's another reason, though. I'm not sure why you would equate Zorah to Boer. Yes?
Why can't we just say that, all the shitas, like, it might be part of the discussion here, it's not just, like, the definition of Boer, but also whether it's the mice or the saw that matters? So even for, like, the Baal Mor, if you assume that the mice matters, so then even if it's...
the mice matters. I did a mice of Hasar Sapsolas.
I'm getting rid of the bad. Even if I finish it, or say the other way around, for the tikkun.
What, even though I didn't finish Shabbos. It, I should be potter?
Shabbos is all about mice.
But I, so did, I did a mice of Boer, right? I got rid of lots of Solas.
Okay, maybe only the Tursa is what matters. I'm saying so.
Why would you look at it that way? Now, why would you say, if the malachas hasar sapsolas, and I did a lot of hasar sapsolas, and I have a shear, I did more, I did a lot, right? Why would you say that since it's not finished, that it's nothing?
Isn't that exactly the question?
Not necessarily.
Yaakov learned just in the Totsa, and the way Rabbi's presenting their Baal Mor, it's in the mice. That's exactly
right. Or,
not necessarily. I mean, they can both agree about being the mice. I think the issues are kind of independent. You don't have to tie them to issues. You could say Baal Mor could be both mice or dependent or Totsa based, and you could say the Shavus Yaakov or the Bir Alacha are mice based or Totsa based, and they're not related. They don't have to be tied together. And I think that way the Yerushalmi doesn't have to be...
If you said it, so you might be right, but it's a little strange, right? The Baal Mor is saying that every Borer is a Netzricha L'Gufa, right? So clearly he's not defining it as looking at the Tikkun HaOchel. He's saying that why is it a Netzricha L'Gufa? Because the definition of the Melacha is Hasar Sapsolas. So here... where I was Meisir HaSapsolas, and I accomplished a great deal. I did a lot of value in terms of that. In other words, I would say, fakir for me. I would say, even if you said like the Shuas Yaakov, that is defined as Tikkun Ochal, the Yerushalmi is still a big Kiddush, because you were misnaking it. You went from 60% Psolas to 30% Psolas. And still, okay, but I could hear over there to say that since it's not entirely Mesukan, you're not chayev. But to say that, yes, the definition of the melacha is hasar sapsolas, and still say that it's no chiyav until it's 100% gone, even though I've done definitely misake, and I've done a lot, is unintuitive.
Well, take like the Igle Tal's approach. If you take the question of time based on how long melacha usually takes, so borer as melacha, which usually doesn't take a long time, takes 5 minutes, or it takes 2 seconds to separate
If you take
like only the full mice that would consider as borer, anything else is
But why define it that way? In other words, why don't I say, again, it's plausible. I'm not saying it's inconceivable. But it seems to me to be highly unintuitive to say both of those things. Even if you add in what the Iglei Tal says, which to me is, I don't know how pashut that was in general. I thought the Iglei Tal, the Iglei Tal would help you. I don't know how he knows that the Derech of Borer is, I don't know, when you do Borer of Ocham Solas, I would have thought the other way. I would have thought that in the Sidur de Pas, that's something that is a big process. But, okay, I hear what you're saying. I can't say you're wrong. I think it's somewhat unintuitive, though. Now, if we go back to the Ramban, so the Yerushalmi could work for the Ramban, right? And also in a way that doesn't disagree with the Bavli, because you could be... I'll give you an example. Again, it's less pashut for the Ramban, but you could say it like this. There's a halacha, right, that you could be chayev for gozes. So typically, there's two ways, like we said, about getting a haircut, right? Either it's getting rid of the long hair, or it's... collecting the hair to make a wig. So what about the following? Let's say I'm plucking out my hairs. I'm going white, and I want to look a little bit younger. So I pluck out my white hairs. So the Bir Halacha talks about this. And the Bir Halacha says, maybe you'll only be chayev until I get... He won't be chayv until I get out all the white hairs. Right? That will be the shear. That will be the shear. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that because with respect to this form of... And he quotes Yushalmi to this effect. In other words, he says, he brings a raya that would be true, like this Yushalmi. That's where the Bi'al Lacha quotes this Yushalmi. He doesn't quote this Yushalmi in the laws of Borer. He talks about it in that context. So what's the pshat? So maybe the pshat is that, for the Ramban, you could be chayiv for both, right? Like he says by gozes. You could be chayiv if you want the hair, and you could be chayiv if you get rid of the, you want a haircut. But it has to be a significant act. And when your goal is to get rid of your white hairs, and... you've only gotten rid of, two-thirds of the white hairs, and some of the white hairs remain, so you haven't accomplished anything, because you're still, you're still that person with black and white hair. You still look like an altakalker. So the question is, could you say something like that for the Ramban? In other words, and I'm not sure. I think this is less unintuitive than in the Baal HaMor, but to say that Hasaras HaPsoles is significant when you get rid of all the Psoles, and Tikkun Ochel is significant when you're Misakin the Ochel. Here, it's insignificant with respect to both. Maybe, I'm not sure. Anyway...
Grogaris only applies sometimes, you have to assume.
Well, right, Grogaris would be true when you have where you're left, when the goal is to get rid of the bad, when you're left with a grogaris of ochel. When you created one grogaris of ochel. Now, one way or the other, it's an interesting question, do we paskin like this Yerushalmi? So the Orzarua quotes this Yerushalmi. Obviously the Orzarua at least held that there's no machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. And as I mentioned, the Bir Halacha in Simen Shin Mem, Sif Aleph, Dibur Maschil Umelake, quotes Yerushalmi with respect to Gozes, and then he says, Ayin Le'el B'Simen Shin Yates. I don't know what that means. Ayin Simen Shin Yates, that's like a good Ayin. Simen Shin Yates. Ken Zayin, he's referring to this discussion of the Yeshuas Yaakov, which we mentioned. He likes the Yeshuas Yaakov, and the Yeshuas Yaakov is very nicely with the Yushalmi. So maybe saying, look, in Simon Shidya Test, where I told you that I like the Yeshuas Yaakov, and in that, and the Yushalmi works well for the Yeshuas Yaakov, but it's hard to know for sure what he's referring to. Now, another place where the Rishonim, as I said, for the most part, the Rishonim don't quote this Yushalmi, but perhaps you see the Rishonim addressing this as Yushalmi, is the Gemara Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Almed Beis. The Gemara says like that. Amar of Papa, Bulihadik Inish Sinaisa Bepume De Kuzni De Chavisa. So you shouldn't put straw or wood chips into the mouth of a jug. Mishum de mechzik mishameris. It resembles mishameris. Because what's the idea? That when you plug up the spout with straw, let's say, then the straw serves as a filter to filter the psolas when you pour the liquid through the spout. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the lashon of the Gemara sound is what? Mechzik mishamer. Sound, mechzik mishamer, sounds very derabbanan-like. Says Rashi over there, Kli cheres katan shemarin bo yai mechavis leitim befiv kashin vekismin vechazaka she'en lecha misanen es g'day lemizu. So that sounds like chayef. Some even say maybe Rashi didn't have the gear of mechzi. But Rashi sounds like that's a chayef. The Ran over there, Nun Zayin Amabes without Be'a Rif, says, Af agav de lav mishameres ma mishi sherei ovrim bashmarim kevedik a kismen the tinofes de ma'akev lahu v'lo avdi dami l'mishameres. Says the Ran, no, this is only dami l'mishameres. Why? Why isn't it mishamer mamish? Why isn't it filtration? Because this doesn't get rid of everything. For example, this, you know, primitive filter, the shmarim from the wine, the sediment could get through. So what does it keep out? It keeps out kismin vitinofes. So what are you left with? It's a partial filter. You're still left with psolus in your wine because it still remains full of sediment, but you've partially filtered the wine. You've gotten out the kismin vitinofes. And therefore, it's only dami l'mishamares and only an iser d'rabbanan, presumably, and not an iser d'oraisa because you haven't gotten rid of all the psolus. So it sounds like, basically, the Bavli and the Ran and Rashi are disputing this question of the Yerushalmi, right? Rashi says, you're chayev. Ein lecha mishameres gedol mizu. L'maisi, you got rid of all those kismin, whatever kismin are exactly, and you've gotten rid of all the psolas, and it's true that some shmarim remain, but you've successfully filtered out a lot of psolas, you're chayev. And the Ran is saying, no. Since what emerges isn't pristine, because there's still other psolas that remains, the shmarm is still there, you're pater. And even if you held like the Yerushalmi, the Ran is still a chiddush, because you might have still said, okay, but since I got rid of all the kismin, that should still be chayv even for Yerushalmi. But the Ran saying, no, since you weren't left with pure wine, it's still a shmarm in it, so therefore there's psolas that remains, and there's no chayv, only an isur d'rabbanan of dami l'mishamaris. That's the way I would have learned. Now, if that's the correct reading, how do we paskin? So the Mechaber quotes Rashi. And even though he cites another, in Lecham Shemesh Gomzu, and even though in the Beis Yosef he brings down the Ran, in the Shulchan Aruch, he seems to be paskining like Rashi, which might mean, according to this reading, that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi, or he's saying that even according to the Yerushalmi, you should be chayiv because you got rid of all the kismin. And l'chora, the Mechaber understood that the lashon of the Gemara of mechzi is lav dafka. It's mechzi, it's lav dafka in a certain way. In other words, it looks like a filter. It looks like a mishameres. A mishameres is a certain type of filter, right? It's like a cloth that you use to strain the wine. This isn't quite a cloth, but it looks like a cloth because it uses the straw to do the separation. That's the way I would have read the Mechaber. And again, then it comes out that we were, again, either we're rejecting the Yerushalmi or we're saying the Yerushalmi could agree over here. But fundamentally, you don't. You could have a case where you don't get rid of all the psolas, and you're still chayiv. However, if you look at the Magen Avraham, Sifkat Yadalit, he says, how could the Machaber say, Ein lecha mishamer es gedol limizu? The Gemara says, Mechzi. That's a funny question, because that's a question on Rashi, right? Why are you asking that question on the Machaber? The Machaber just quotes Lashon Rashi. I assume what he means is that the Ran, the way he's reading it, the Ran wasn't coming to argue with Rashi. Rashi was like exaggerating a little bit. And really, the Ran is explaining Rashi, and the Beis Yosef, you know, the Ran is a corrective; it's a more precise formulation. So the Mechaber should have quoted the Lashon of the Ran. Why is he quoting this Lashon of Rashi, which is very misleading at the very least? So I think that's the way the Magen Avraham is reading it. So according to Magen Avraham, everybody agrees you're Pater in this case, because what? Because Psolus remains. So we're accepting the Yerushalmi, and we're saying that as long as some psolus remains, there's no chiyuv chatas. I thought the pashas in the Beis Yosef wasn't that way, but that's the way the Tosefah Shabbos says it, that the Beis Yosef, against the Magen Avraham. Because Magen Avraham sounds like there's no machlokas ran in Rashi, and the pashas is that, the Magen Avraham says there's no machlokas, and the Tosefah Shabbos says, according to Beis Yosef, there is a machlokas, and he's being machriya like Rashi.
The Ran quotes Lashon Rashi.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's a shaila. Is the Ran sort of arguing with Rashi, or is he?
He would quote Rashi and then argue that not tell you that he's arguing with him.
I think that's the shaila. So the way the Ran Magen Avraham's reading it is like you're saying. Of course not. In other words, if the Ran was disagreeing with Rashi, he would have said Vakasha or something like that. The way the Tosefah Shabbos is reading it is that it is a machlokas. If you read it, like you're saying that there's no machlokas, like the Magen Avraham says it, then the Lashon of the Mechaber is difficult, because why is he quoting Lashon Rashi when Rashi is so misleading, and you should quote the Lashon of the Ran? That's what the Tosefah Shabbos says. No, if the Mechaber is quoting Lashon of Rashi, it's because he held Rashi's right, and Rashi Kipshuto is right, that we're dealing with the Chiyuv Chatas. Yeah.
Even if there is a machloket, Rashi and Ram, mm-hmm. why do we have to assume that this has any bearing on the Rishami and Bavli machloket? Why can't we just say that there's one discussion about if you take off, you have a mixture of jelly beans, and you take out only some of the black ones, not all the black ones.
No, the Rishami is talking about psolas, and this is talking about psolas. So it's not like jelly beans. In other words, I agree, so that's what I said. I said you could say two cases. You could say there's two ways to understand the Ran's disagreement, right? Either it's because he thinks, right, or there's two ways to understand that either the Ran is basically like the Yerushalmi, right, and or the Ran is saying that, let's say Rashi the other way, it's easier. Rashi could either be saying that this is like the Yerushalmi, that's option one, I'm not being machriya. Option two is that Rashi could even agree to the Yerushalmi, but this is worse because there is, you got rid of all of one type of psolas. You got rid of all the kismin, right? So within Rashi, you don't know. Whereas within the Ran, so the Ran almost certainly learns like the Yerushalmi, because the Ran's saying, even though you got rid of all the kismin, since shmarim remain, that's not shayach achiyav. The only way to be chayav, this is what the Gemara means according to the Ran, right? The only way to be chayav is to get rid of all the psolas. So that's certainly very much like the Yerushalmi. So that's what I'm saying. The cler is more within Rashi. The Yerushalmi, again, the Ran doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, but I think his argument, his interpretation of the Gemara, rests on the hanacha of the Yerushalmi, which is that you're only chayav when you get rid of all the psolas. And within Rashi Shita Yesh Lachkor, and then you have the question, you know, but that fine. So this might be another nafkamina. The next nafkamina is the famous Taz, not the Taz Hayadua, but another very famous Taz. So the Taz talks about a very common situation, where a fly falls into your chicken soup. Oy vey. So what do? So says the Taz. This is Sifkat Yud Gimel. It's going on Sif Tazayin. That don't just take out the fly alone, but take out a little bit yikach min hamashke ktsas imayim. Make sure to take out a little soup with the fly, and that will solve the boat rib problem. Says the Prima Gadim, what's the pshat here? What's the pshat? So this is like the Yerushalmi. In other words, how is the Taz understanding the Yerushalmi? That as long as a taroves remains, you're not in violation of bover. So if you take out a little soup with your fly, right, I take my spoon, I scoop out the fly with a little bit of soup, so is there a taroves remaining? Sure, right, because in my spoon there's now a taroves of fly and soup. So therefore, as it's only chai when you get rid of all the taroves. That's the way the Prima Gadim understands the Taz. Basically, we're paskening. This is another application of Rav Yudin, okay? Which might be, again, going back to our initial machlokas, initial question of how to understand the getter of the malacha. And not only that, but there's not even Nisr Drabanan in this case. You have to deal with the issue of Mux. I'm sure that's what you're wondering about. Maybe it's a Graf Shalmei. All right, anyway. Now this is a chiddush, though, even if you accept the Yerushalmi. Why? Because, you know, let's say, how do we explain the Yerushalmi before? Basically, Shuas Yaakov is tikkun ha'ichel. This is tremendous tikkun ha'ichel, right? Originally, I had a whole bowl of chicken soup, right? Which is all, you know, inedible because of the fly that's floating in the middle. And now, I was misaken, you know, there's 4 ounces of chicken soup in my bowl. I was misaken 3.9 of those 4 ounces, 0.1 ounce left in my spoon was not nisukan. So, that's mutter all of a sudden. So it's a tremendous chiddush. In other words, or maybe it's wrong. That's what the Igle Tal says. You can't explain it that way. Because even if you define, you're going to accept the Yerushalmi, and you're going to accept the Yeshua's Yaakov, and you're going to say that the Gedim Malachas took an oichal, and therefore, as long as there's some psilas remaining, it is not chayev. But here, you were misakin it. You were misakin 3.9 out of 4 ounces. So the Prima Gadim's interpretation of the Taz, which rests on Yerushalmi, cannot be the correct interpretation of the Taz. Don't explain the Taz basically Yerushalmi. So how then do you explain the Taz? So we'll talk about this in a moment, but you might have to explain the Taz like the Chazon Ish. I'll foreshadow now, we need to say a little more before we get to Chazon Ish, but the Chazon Ish basically says no. Very simple. The pshat in the Taz is that this fly is not actually me'urav with the rest of the soup, right? What I said before is wrong. I said before that there's a taroves between the 4 ounces of soup and the fly, right? And therefore you were effectively misakein the 3.9 ounces. And the Taz is saying, nevertheless, you're it's okay. No. The fly is only me'urav with the soup that surrounds it, right? I'll give you a mashal, right? Let's say, and again, this is going to be one of the big boroshilas where you draw the line. But you have a bowl of chicken soup with a big knedel in the middle, okay? And let's say you don't like knedelach. So you take out that knedel. Is that boer? Is there really a taroves between soup and knedel? No, that's not a taroves. It's not a taroves. It's like, I take my chair out from under the table. Oh, it's boer! Originally, the table and the chair were me'urav, and now I've separated them by rare. And if I don't like a chair, so it's psilos for my chal. It's a broken chair, let's say. Right? Give me a break. So maybe the fly is only me'urav with the soup surrounding it, in which case that's the pshat netaz, saying when you take out the soup, the spoon with the fly in the middle, it's not the pshat that, oh, you happen to have a little eichel, so as long as you take up souls with a little bit of eichel, it's automatically okay. No, the pshat is there, you remove the whole tarovas. It was never m'urav. You're not taking... The fly was never m'urav with the rest of the soup, so therefore that separation isn't problematic. So if you learn the taz that way, then of course it has nothing to do with Yerushalmi. Now, the truth is that that's the way the Chazon Ish reads the taz. There are many who rejected the taz precisely because of this question. Among them, if you take a look at the Ber Hetev, the Ber Gola on this taz, the Ber Hetev, Sifkan Beis, he quotes the Maritatz and says, no, Taka, you're allowed to take out the fly. The taz is wrong. You don't have to even take out any soup with the fly. Because we were looking, oh, we said the taz, what a kula, right? Without the taz, I'm stuck. Without the taz, I'm stuck. Says the taz, a kula, as long as you take away a little bit of soup with the fly, it's mutter. Says the maritatz, the taz isn't a kula, it's a chumra, it's ridiculous. You don't have to take any soup out with the fly. There's no tarovis. It's like the knedelach. The knedel, there's not muruv at all. Now, so what would the taz say back? So one possibility, I saw this in one of the contemporary svarim, is that taka, the machlokas between the taz and the maritatz, is this question, how do you define the malacha? Is the iser the act of hafrada, in which case you would need a taroves, and that's the maritatz, or is the malacha tikkun ha-maichel, in which case you don't need a taroves, and the taz is a chumra? I think that's very strange. I think it's pashut that you need a taroves for boer. And the easier way to explain the taz is like that Chazon Ish. Again, the Chazon Ish, if you want to look at it, it's simin nun gimel, and it's also simin nun dalet sifkat and gimel.
It wouldn't be like a malacha shenitzrich legufa to be attacking the ochel without a taroves.
Not every tikkun ochel is boer. If I make a peanut butter sandwich, that's not borer because it's tikkun ochel, even though it's a lot better when you have peanut butter on the bread.
It's an hammer, it's not borer.
In other words, even when we talk about the gedder of malacha being tikkun ochel, it doesn't mean any tikkun ochel is borer. Now, it is true. So again, the Chazon Ish is saying, what's the pshat in the taz? The taz is saying that the only taroves between the fly and the soup occurs in, I don't know exactly how to define it, the drops surrounding it. That's where there's taroves. There's no taroves between the fly and the rest of the soup. So memela, taking out the fly with a little bit of soup, is okay. But not, again, not nothing to do with the Prima Gadim's reading. It's not telling you this broad rule, right? The way the Pashup Shat, the way the Mishavur reads the Taz, is like this. Right, and Shlomo Zalman tries to say even the Mishnah Berurah didn't mean what he says, but is a whole lamda shavart. But the Parshat Shat in the Taz, or let's say the conventional reading of the Taz, the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to read the Taz, is that as long as I get some taroves remains, in other words, I take out my psolas with a little bit of eichel, it's okay. So you take out the fly with a little bit of soup, it's okay, right? Why? Again, Yerushalmi, taroves remains. And this has far-reaching implications. For example, the Mishnah Berurah says you take out the fish bone with a little bit of ochel on it still, like a little piece of fish, even though, again, my goal is to get rid of the bone. There's no doubt, right? This bone is in my way. I don't want it. I don't want to choke. I'm getting rid of the bone. But there's epis a little bit of fish left on the bone, a little bit of flesh. You don't even need flesh. There's a little bit of juice left on the bone. So you take out the bone, suck out the juice. Delicious. And you throw out the bone. I have no interest in fish juice, but I've taken out some psoles, oichel with the psoles, as long as, or let's say you're cutting your meat, right? And you have those pieces of meat where there's like, you know, fat. You don't like the fat. You're a healthy person, so you can't just take off the fat. That's psoles. But you trim a little bit of meat along with the fat. And instead of, again, you know, there it's usually a pretty easy solution. You could usually in those cases take the olcho from the psoles pretty easily, but you don't want to. Instead, you take the psoles from the olcho, but you make sure that on the fat there's just a little bit of meat. It's good. It's good. That's the conventional reading of the Taz. That seems to be the accept. That seems to be the psak that the Mishnah accepts. That's why he has that etzah of taking a little bit of oichel together with the fishbone, even though, again, that's my intention. And again, that's where the Chazon Ish says, no, that's absolutely wrong. The Taz never said that. Even if you hold a Yerushalmi, that wouldn't be true, because here you're misaking your ochel, and nobody would say that's true. And the Pshat and the Taz agrees with the Maritats in theory that you need a taroves, but the Chiddush of the Taz is that there is a little bit of taroves between fish and soup, but only at the point of contact. Now, this brings us back, we'll get to it a little later, but to the peeling shaila, right? Remember, before we mentioned that the Yerushalmi said that peeling is a shaila boirer, and in fact, it's chayav for boirer sometimes, like in the case of garlic, right? One objection you could have had to the Yerushalmi is to say that there's no taroves. There's no taroves. They're not mixed. The garlic peel is not mixed with the garlic. They're two distinct things. So one way to go is to say, maybe the Yerushalmi doesn't require taroves, right? Like, again, the way some achronim said to be miyashev the taz from the Maritatsa Shaila. Another possibility is to say no, that at the point of contact, we see that as a machlo, as a taroves. And of course, beyond the point of contact, there's no taroves. But at the point of contact, there's a taroves, and that's exactly how the Chazon Ish is reading the Taz, that it's at the point of contact between the soup and the fly, where the soup is more than the fly, right? But otherwise, you know, if you had, you know, a bowl of soup with 16 flies, so then probably you'd say there's a taroves of soup and flies. But you have a soup with one fly, so the Maritatsa says there's no taroves at all, just take out the fly, or you'll say, like the Chazon Ish, that in the point of contact between the fly and the soup, there's a little bit of taroves, but memela, if you take out the spoon of soup with a little bit of the fly with a little bit of soup, that will have avoided the question, right? And again, so there could be a number of nafkaminas. For example, let's take peeling a cucumber. Let's assume for a moment you could use a peeler, though the same thing would be true for a knife. Peeling a cucumber with a knife and or a peeler. So is that okay? So let's assume it's not for a miad. So it's not for immediate use. Is that going to be okay? So if you learn like the conventional reading of the Taz, and let's assume that we're dealing with an inedible cucumber peel for the moment. Not the types of peels people eat, but a peel that people wouldn't eat. So if you learn, like, again, the conventional reading of the Taz, that would be okay. Because whenever you peel a cucumber, you'll notice they don't just get peel. You get some ochel together with the psoles, right? Certainly if you're using a knife. Whereas if you, that would be okay. But if you don't learn that way, so then it's less clear. Because there's no automatic heter just because you're taking away a little bit of ochel together with the psoles. So, if you assume that peels are me'urav, right, which again we do assume, because we assume that peeling is a shail of boer, and we assume you need a taroves, so then you'll have to figure out, and this is one of those very hard questions to answer that we alluded to before, you know, how much cucumber is me'urav with the peel? You might still say it's okay if you follow the Chazon Ish, because it's only me'urav with the cucumber at the point of contact. And even though, you know, you set, let's say a peeler, let's imagine that the peel itself is, 0.2 millimeters. There's a taroves between, within the first 0.4 millimeters of cucumber. And if a peeler takes off a 0.5 millimeters, then you're good, right? So that could be totally okay, even if you, certainly it would be okay with the conventional Taz, but it might also be okay with the Chazanish's Taz. But that's already very hard to know. Maybe the Tarovis is not with the first, only within the first 0.4 millimeters of the cucumber, it's within the first 0.6 millimeters of the cucumber, in which case if your cucumber peeler takes off 0.5 millimeters, you're stuck, right? Not easy to divine. For sure, if you know you take off a centimeter of cucumber, you know, then you'd be okay. But then you're not left with much cucumber if you take off a centimeter on all sides. You know, that might be a helpful solution for a watermelon, but not for cucumbers. So, you know, and watermelon's even more tricky because you have that white intermediate part. Is that ochel or psoles or mixture? Anyway, so those are if you some of the nafkaminas that might come out for this. The next nafkamina, which we'll start with next time, is the question of I'll give you two questions. We started talking a little bit about ochel from ochel. That's going to be one, and then also psoles from psoles, which will be two. How do you deal with ochel from ochel? How do you deal with psoles from psoles?
Why is cucumber harder and not dust?